Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. Happy April Fool's Day. I don't have any pranks for you. I don't have any tricks, but I am going to tell you a story in just a moment that some people thought was a prank, and I so hope that next week we don't find out that it really was. So far, all signs indicate that it's for real, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But first, I want to start off by revisiting a topic that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, which was this article in Venture Beat, this interview with Tim O'Reilly from O'Reilly Publishing about how Silicon Valley is massively underestimating what the Internet of Things is going to do to business, what the Internet of Things is going to do to businesses like yours. And I have said, and I stand by this, that we'll do some investigation about the Internet of Things in the coming weeks. But for the moment, I just want to revisit that because of the story that some people think is a hoax, which is that Amazon has launched a new feature called the Dash button. And the Dash button is this little device that Prime members, so people in Amazon's loyalty program, can affix, can attach to places in their home, like their pantry where they might keep paper towels or razor blades or toilet paper or laundry detergent, right? And it connects, you set it up with your smartphone, and it connects to your Wi-Fi. And when you're running low on that item, you simply press the button. And they make one for each of the, like, it's a really weird thing. They make one for each of the brands that you can do this with. But you press the button and it will go ahead and just order that item for you, replace that item for you. It's kind of like this whole idea people have had for a long time of the, you know, internet-connected refrigerators that will just automatically know when it's time to order, you know, for you to get milk or just time for you to, you know, replenish, I don't know, whatever you keep in your refrigerator. Now, in this case, it's not doing it automatically. You have to hit the button. But conceptually, it's kind of cool. You know, I do think it's going to be a little silly if people have, you know, 30 of these around their homes with all these little logos all over them. Because it actually has the logo of the product on it so that you know you're pressing the Tide button instead of the Downy button or the toilet paper button instead of the paper towel button. And you can see, you know, I'm linking to it in the show notes, which you will be able to find at timpeter.com/podcast. But, you know, you will find when you look at it why it is that some people were like, come on, this is a hoax. This is, they're having some fun with us for April Fools. But according to Huffington Post, it's legit. It's a real thing. And I suspect it really is. And the reason is because of this thing that we were talking about with Tim O'Reilly's assessment of the Internet of Things. What Amazon seems to understand, and what lots of companies are starting to get their head around, is how these tools that we can put in front of customers can change behavior. And in Amazon's case, they're going to sell a metric, you know, crap ton of stuff if people start picking these things up. Because what they've done is they've made the transaction more friction-free. Oh, you need some more Tide? Great. Press the button. You're done. Done. Piece of cake. You don't have to go online. You don't have to do anything. You simply hit the button and you're done. I don't know if it's dramatically easier than pulling out your phone and going to the site and, you know, pulling up the app or things like that, but it's certainly fairly seamless. And what it reflects is how customer behaviors are changing rapidly and how companies like Apple, like Google, like Amazon are trying to get in front of those behaviors really quickly. I mentioned Apple and Google first because they're part of the what I call the AgFam group, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, who are the folks who tend to be on the front side of this. So, for instance, we've got back-to-back data from eMarketer, one that says that by 2019, mobile will account for 72% of U.S. digital ad spend. So $3 out of every four, or 75 cents out of every dollar, or however you want to look at it, will be spent on mobile, of digital spend, will be spent on mobile in just 4 years' time. And this year, Google will take about 55% of all the search ad dollars spent. Because these guys get it. They get that digital is where it's going. They get where mobile is where digital is going. They get that that's what your customers are doing now. And so they're on top of this now. I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. I mentioned it in last week's, actually, podcast about why millennials matter and how they're shaping the behaviors of all customer groups, not just their own age group, but all of them. For instance, there is research that is on marketing charts that talks about how mobile internet access has grown across all age groups. You know, what shouldn't shock anybody is that about one in five millennials only use their mobile phone to access the internet. It's the only way they go online is with their mobile phone. What's more interesting is that only about one in four consumers over the age of 55 only use the desktop. So about 75% use a variety of channels to go online, whether it's desktop, whether it's tablet, whether it's their mobile phone. They're using multiple tools to go online based on whatever is most convenient to them when they need to answer their questions, when they need to solve their problems. Now, certainly, that one in four number might be overselling it a bit, since unlike their millennial juniors, only about 6% use mobile only. But hey, you got to start somewhere. That's impressive that 75% are using more than one device, and mobile is certainly one of those. And the reason is because it's getting so easy to do the things that you want to do. For instance, Quartz has a great post that talks about 6 months in, the iPhone 6 Plus is the best computer I've ever had. The writer talks about just what a great experience it is. And I own an iPhone 6 Plus personally, and I can tell you, it's a pretty damn good computer. So he's right. You get used to the size, you get used to the convenience, and you start taking action based on what you need to do. You know, is it as easy as this Amazon Dash button? No. But it's just as easy as using your laptop. It's just as easy as pulling out a tablet. And again, you have it in your hand pretty much all the time. And what that leads to is a big change, a big shift in customer behavior. More eMarketer data that talks about the digital deal-seeking millennial mother. So we're starting to see millennials who now have kids, who have grown up with mobile, who've grown up with the internet, who've grown up with the ability to shop around and find a better price for what they're looking for. And so what they say is, let me go ahead and find that deal, make it easy for me to do that. And as I've said many times, the companies who do that well are going to do well at that. Now, it shouldn't just be about deals, of course. I wrote a post earlier in the week that talked about what The Gap can teach us about mobile e-commerce. The Gap, the store brand, the retailer. And one of the things that their CEO talks about is don't get lured into this false dichotomy of of, you know, emotional versus transactional. Because you can do transactional and you can make it easy for people to find a price and you can make it easy for people to answer their questions. But you also have to appeal to them emotionally and make it easy for them to do that. And that's going to become increasingly important when you're talking about customers who've grown up with this as the norm, which more and more they have. Our good friends at Get Elastic have a post, an infographic that they put up the other day that has data showing that 54% of all consumers today are digital natives. They take this for granted. They do it all the time. It's a piece of cake for them. Now, that's part of a guide to digital transformation that they offer up. I actually posted some slides about putting digital to work and guiding the digital transformation process. And there are four things you need to do. And this is going to be the big takeaway for today's episode. But first, you have to know your customer. And what we're learning about our customers are they will use whatever tool is available to them, where they are, when they are, to solve the problem they have at hand. Doesn't matter what age group they're in, there will be differences. Some are going to be more mobile, as we just talked about. Some are going to be less mobile. Some are going to be more price sensitive. Some are going to be less price sensitive. But the idea is you need to understand what it is that your customer is looking for and how you can help them do that. To do that, you need to lead with data. You need to have the data that makes it easy for you to understand their behaviors and understand how to apply that data in practice. Third is you need to test and learn. You need to say, okay, here's our hypothesis. Here's what we think is true. Now let's put it in practice and test. And I would argue you're already testing today. When you put something in the marketplace, when you make a change to your website, when you launch a new campaign, you're testing. The question is, are you conducting that test in a way that you can learn from it and apply those learnings to improve your business? And to do that is really the fourth step where you have to master accountability. Who's in charge? Who's responsible for it? Who is ultimately accountable for producing the results? And is that person getting the resources and the tools and the support systems that the other folks on the team need to make those things happen? You do that, you're going to put digital to work. You do that, you're going to help your customers. And you do that, you're going to make sure your business wins really well. And just like I started the episode with, that ain't no fooling. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But as ever, I do want to thank you for tuning in. I've said many, many times, I do appreciate it. I would not do the show without you. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You can also subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever happens to be your favorite podcatcher by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for just about any of those search terms. And I wanted to remind you that you can email me. Just send an email to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that is podcast@timpeter.com. Just let me know about any comments or questions or concerns or complaints or just anything you might happen to have top of mind that you want to chat about. I do love to hear from you and I do appreciate it when you drop me a line. Now with that, I hope you have a spectacular rest of the day, a great week to come. Hope you have a happy, happy weekend, and I will look forward to speaking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud next week. In the meantime, take care, everybody.